I would like to talk to you just for a few moments from the subject, tear the roof off. Jesus is in the house. Tear the roof off. Jesus is in the house. In this biblical account from Mark chapter 2, Jesus has made his way back to Capernaum. It's the place where he performed many of his first miracles. It is reported that the word began to spread around that Jesus was in a particular house. You see, they had houses back there where they went to church and not church buildings per se. So in fact, so many people heard about Jesus that the house was full and no one else could get in. On that day, Jesus was preaching the word of God. There is no doubt in my mind that he was preaching a message of hope and life. There is no doubt he was preaching to meet the needs of the people present. There is no doubt that through the word, he was trying to mend broken hearts. There is no doubt that he was reaching with the word of God those who were downtrodden. You see, the house was packed beyond capacity with people who wanted to hear the word of God. The house was full because the word had spread. Jesus was in the house. There were people packed around the windows. There were people pressed around the doors. There were people filled in the yard around the house. And they were all listening to the preaching of the word. They were straining to hear a word of hope, a word of encouragement. But because of the crowd, not one more person could get into the house. Not one more person could touch Jesus. The Bible says that along came a man who was sick with the palsy. That means that he was paralyzed to some degree. It could be that he was totally paralyzed, or perhaps it wasn't to that extent. However sick he was, the Bible says that it took four men to carry him on his bed. He was unable to get where he needed to go on his own. He needed help, and he needed to see Jesus. He needed to get to where Jesus was. They had heard that the house was there, but they couldn't get in. But they knew if they could just get to Jesus, that Jesus would do something for them. You see, if you can just get to Jesus, he can and he will work a miracle in your life. If you will just do your best to get to Jesus, he can meet your needs today. If you will just reach out to him today, he can put the broken pieces of your life back together again. If you will just press in to his presence, he will heal your body or whatever your sickness you may have. If you will just seek his face today, he will forgive you of any sin in your life. You may be wondering, well, how can you make such a bold statement today? I can make it because Jesus is in the house. Jesus is in the house, but you must get to where Jesus is. Today, you must get into his presence. You see, it's not about the house, but it's about the healer who is in the house. And when the healer is in the house, everything is going to be all right. Because when the healer is in the house, demons have got to go. When the healer is in the house, poverty has got to go. When the healer is in the house, strongholds will come down. Shackles will be broken. Tears will be dried up. Joy will be restored. Fresh anointing will be yours. You see, when we get desperate enough to be healed from whatever is standing in our way of our progress, then we will tear the roof off and do whatever we've got to do to get to where the healer is. So I don't know about you, but I need to be healed. And if I gotta tear the roof off, I'm going to do whatever I've got to do. I'm not going to let anyone stand in my way from getting my healing. Somebody needs to tear the roof off because Jesus is in the house. So I'm saying this when we need to tear the roof off. Well, what happens when you tear the roof off? Point number one, when you tear the roof off, you push obstacles out of the way. Tearing the roof off represents your willingness to move out of the way anything that seeks to hinder you from getting into the presence of God. Notice, they did not just move the roof out of the way, but they tore it up. Because anything that gets moved can be put back. They tore it up so that a new one would have to be in place. And there is a season where we need to tear up some stuff in our lives so that they can't be put back together. And I'm here to let somebody know, I know I'm talking to somebody this morning, that this is your season to tear some of that stuff up in your life. You've got some roots that are deep implanted that you need to get out. You need to tear it up. That's why some of the stuff keeps coming back. Why am I going through this situation over and over and over and over again? Because you're trying to move things instead of tearing it up. Tear it up, it will not come back. Tear it up, it will not bother you again. Tear it up, because it's time for something new. Whatever it is that wants to block the overflow of the Spirit of God in your life, you've got to tear it up because Jesus is in the house. Amen. In our text, we find these men full of faith trying to get this sick man to Jesus. But as we stated before, the house is full. Around every window, there were people packed around the doors. There were people. There was no way in. You see, there was an obstacle in their way. There was an obstacle between a sick man and his healing. There was an obstacle that separated the man in need from a miracle. There was an obstacle that was in between a needy man and Jesus. Jesus was in the house, but the man was on the outside and unable to look in on what Jesus was doing. You know, sometimes we let an obstacle get in the way from us entering in the presence of Jesus Christ. We sometimes allow our problems to get in our way from getting to where Jesus is. Sometimes we allow obstruction to stand between us and our miracle. We often allow a hindrance to block our way from getting right with God. But I'm here to let you know that you need to get to wherever Jesus is. You need to push the obstacle out of the way and get to Jesus, because he is the only one that can do it. You see, this man that was sick, and the men that they were there, they pushed him. They pushed every obstacle out of his way. It wasn't convenient being carried on his bed. But you know what? He came anyway. It was out of the way, but he came anyway. He was sick. He was tired. But he came anyway. It wasn't the right time, but he came anyway. And he received a miracle because he pushed the obstacles out of the way. So I admonish you today to push the obstacles out of the way to get to Jesus. You need to tear the roof off because Jesus is in the house. Point number two, when you tear the roof off, you know what you do? You touch Jesus. In the book of Luke, it gives us the same story about the man with palsy. Luke 5 and 17 says, "And it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them." After that verse, it goes on to say that these men that carried this sick man could not get him in the house. But what is interesting to note is that the power of the Lord was present to heal that day, but only one man was healed. Is it safe to say that there were more people there that needed healing? But only one person was healed? I pose this question to you. Is it possible to be in the presence of Jesus and still be separated from Jesus? Well, from this text, I draw the logical conclusion that it is possible to be in the presence of Jesus and still be separate or separated from Jesus. It is possible to be where he is and still have an obstacle that keeps us from getting to him. Just being in the same house is never enough, for you must touch Jesus for yourself. I can't touch Jesus for you. You must make the effort to push whatever obstacle. And you're saying, "Well, Pastor, what do you mean by obstacles?" Well, sometimes when we're in church and we're hearing the word of God, it'll come across our mind, what should I cook for dinner? Oh, okay, I hope she's done, because by 11 o'clock, I made an appointment and I need to get there. Your mind wandering while the word is going on, because Jesus is here and Jesus wants you to know that he is in the house. But in order for you to feel him, you must touch him. You must set your mind and say, "I want to feel Jesus. I want to feel his presence." Because the Bible lets us know in his presence there is fullness of joy. And the Bible also lets us know, I just love the Bible, It lets us know that the joy of the Lord is our strength. So get this. If I can get in his presence and connect it to Jesus, I will fill up on the joy. And when I take on that joy from the Lord, the Bible lets me know the joy of the Lord is my strength. So now I'm going to be strong in the Lord, and then whatever obstacles come my way, I don't know what your issues are. I don't know what struggles you go through. But Jesus knows. And he is here to heal you from whatever you need to be healed of. And the good thing is, we don't have to tell everybody our secrets. We don't have to go to the confessional, to go into the booth and say, Father, forgive me, for I have sinned. I did da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And take 3 Hail Marys or 5 Hail Marys and you should be good. We can go to Jesus ourselves. You don't have to tell me what you've done. You tell it to Jesus. Because sometimes when you tell other people what you have done, they hold it against you. And next thing you know, Sister so-and-so knows what happened. Brother so-and-so knows what happened. And then the whole church knows what happened. You can just take it to Jesus, and Jesus is letting you know that he is in the house. Amen. And my final point, and then I'm closing. When you tear the roof off, healing is guaranteed. Many of those who wouldn't receive anything that day were the scribes and the Pharisees, because their thinking was wrong concerning God. Had they been open to his presence, he could have healed their thinking. There will always be religious people in the house who don't care that people are being saved, who do not care that people are being delivered. And all they care about is what makes them uncomfortable. They don't care that relationships are being restored. They don't care that marriages are being saved. They don't care that children are now coming to their senses. They don't care that drug addicts are getting set free. They don't care that ordinary pew members are finding their purpose in the body of Christ. All they care about is that you broke denominational rules to get it done. And they're like, ooh, I'm telling.
Keep on laughing, Jesus already knows.
Jesus already knows. But it's something that me and my husband discuss. It's not about religion, but it's about the relationship. Your relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what it's about. Do you have a relationship with Jesus? Do you only come to visit Jesus on Sunday mornings? Or do you take Jesus with you every day? Do you pray to our Lord and Savior? Do you acknowledge him? Do you share the good news with your coworkers? Do they even know you go to church? Sometimes some of us are afraid. But we are children of God. And if we are ashamed of Jesus, Jesus will be ashamed of us in front of the Father. And I don't know about you, but I don't want Jesus to be ashamed of me. So I'm going to let everybody know I serve Jesus. I'm not going to argue, because we know religion, politics, those are the things that you can't really have conversations with, because people will start to argue. But no, the word of God, you just say the word of God and leave it. If you do the planting, God will do the watering. Amen. Right? But we have to spread the word. But we must experience Jesus for ourselves. How can I share the good news if I don't know about the good news? How can I say Jesus is a healer? But he never healed me. How can I say Jesus is a way maker? But Jesus never made a way for me. That's because you have to have a relationship with him. Well, how do you have a relationship with Jesus? Reading the word of God, praying to Jesus, praying to God our Father, cultivating that. You all remember, those of you who are married, when you first met your spouse, how you talked on the phone for hours and hours, how you held their hand and you went to the park and you just looked in their eyes and you couldn't wait to see them again. That's how you establish a relationship with Jesus. I can't wait to talk to Jesus. I can't wait to read his word. I can't wait to let God know how much I love God. So I just wanted you to know that Jesus is in the house. Whatever you're standing in need of, Jesus is here to heal you. Whatever it is, it doesn't matter. Don't ever let anyone speak down of you because of your circumstances, because of your situation, because of the things that happen to you. All of us may not have been living with silver spoons in our mouths. We've had to struggle. I know I've had my share of struggles, and I'm sure some of you have had your share of struggles. We all struggle in some way, shape, or form. But Jesus is in the house. So the Lord is letting you know he is in the house. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to make sure that you are able to feel the presence of the Lord in this place. Some of you may not even know what it feels like to be in the presence of the Lord. Some of you may say, I've been in church all my life, and I've never felt Jesus. I've never came to him. I've never told him about my troubles. I never went to him. But I'm telling you today, Jesus is in the house. No matter what you're going through, some of the situations, I can't tell mommy, I can't tell daddy, but you can tell Jesus. I can't tell sister, I can't tell my brother, I can't tell my friend, but you can tell Jesus. You don't have to suffer through the things you're going through by yourself. You have Jesus. So many people don't realize that they have Jesus and they kill themselves. They commit suicide because they can no longer deal with life circumstances. senses. So we must let people know that Jesus is here. Jesus is in the house. That Jesus is here to heal you. You shall live and not die. I believe so much in the power of God, in the power of prayer. My husband and I both had COVID. My husband experienced it worse than I did. He didn't want to go to the hospital when he really should have. I was checking his oxygen level. It was going down, and I was getting nervous. I know he was getting nervous, but you know what we did? We got our daughter, and we got around him. We put our hands on him, and we began to pray for God to heal his body. So many people that we know, that we love, have died from COVID. My closest friend died from COVID. I didn't want my husband to die, so the only thing I could do and the only thing we can do is pray. If we could take their place, I'm sure we would. God, let my loved one live. But we prayed over him. You've got to believe in the power of prayer. That's why Jesus is in the house. He wants you to believe in the power of prayer. He wants you to believe in him. And you see, he's here today. For the Bible says that many are the afflictions of the righteous. So just because we serve God and we come to church does not exempt us from going through the things that life has. But trials come to make us strong. You must believe and hold on to it. And that's what we teach our daughter as she grows up, to call on Jesus. So I told her, I said, if you get scared, she's out in the woods. I think she's about an hour and a half away from here. But mommy and daddy's not there. And you know, this world is so evil. But I told her, just call on Jesus. Begin to pray. And that's what I want you all to do. When you have trouble, when you have sickness, when you need finances, financial blessings, God will provide. Just have faith. Amen. So that's the word for today. I just want you to know that Jesus is in the house. So you just tear the roof off. Get to him however you can and let him know, Jesus, I need you. I need you right now. And you don't have to have eloquent speech to talk to our Father, to talk to Jesus Christ. Talk in your everyday language. If you say, yo, what's up? Yo, what's up, Jesus? Or, hey, Jesus, you know, it's me again. Okay, you know I messed up. And you see, this is what happened. I did da 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 da. But God, I need you to fix this for me. I need you to help me. Just talk to him in your everyday language. You don't have to, oh, Heavenly Father, I come to you graciously and need you. When you're in trouble, all you can say is, Jesus, help me. I need help. That's all you got to do. And believe that God will move. So that's my word for this morning. Jesus is in the house. I pray that this word has blessed you. Amen. So let us just pray real quickly. Dear Lord, we thank you for this word. God, I pray that you would touch the hearers of your word. God, that you have brought the word to let us know that you are in this house. So God, we're looking for you to do some miraculous things, Father. God, I pray that you would touch each and every one that's under the sound of my voice, that you would meet them at the point of their needs right now, in the name of Jesus. God, bring healing, bring deliverance, set them free. Whatever the issue is, God, we know that you are in the house and we believe it's already done. So we thank you for this word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.